From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. It's the holiday travel season, which often means a hotel stay for you or perhaps visiting relatives. But what about these reports of bed bug infestations in places like Ohio, New York City? Are there bed bugs in Iowa, too? This hour, we'll find out when we talk with entomologist Ken Holscher, community health consultant Tim Wickham of the Iowa Department of Public Health, and Stephen Mandernach, chief of the department's Food and Consumer Safety Bureau. Also, tips about preventing a bed bug infestation. Have you encountered these unwanted pests in your land of slumber? Share your bed bug story this hour, right after the news. It's The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Just talking about them guarantees that a significant number of the thousands of people listening to this program right now will start to feel itches during the hour. Oh, in fact, it's already making me start to scratch just thinking about it. Our topic today is so disturbing, it may even propel you into your bedroom if you're at home to look for tiny invaders. Bed bugs, the focus of our hour. We thought it was an excellent time to do that because it's the holiday travel season, which often means a hotel stay for you, perhaps for visiting relatives. And you know, we've been hearing reports of bed bug infestations in places like Ohio, New York City. Are there bed bugs in Iowa too? Well, our guests this hour will give us the answer to this and many other questions about bed bugs. Let me introduce our guests for the hour. Ken Holscher, joining us from the studios of Iowa Public Radio in Ames. Ken is Associate Professor of Entomology and Extension Entomologist at Iowa State University. Ken, welcome to our program.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Also joining us, Stephen Mandernach. He is at our Des Moines studio, Chief of the Iowa Department of Public Health's Food and Consumer Safety Bureau. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Tim Wickham in our Des Moines studio with Stephen, community health consultant at the Iowa Department of Public Health's Division of Environmental Health. Tim, welcome on board.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to reach out to our listeners this hour. Have you encountered unwanted pests in your land of slumber? Share your bed bug story this hour. Ooh, exterminators, we'd like to hear from you. Are you seeing an increase in bed bug complaints? Calls to your company, 1-866-780-9100, or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. And as an extra bonus, your itchy bed bug story this hour will be rewarded with a scratch. Call now with your bed bug story this hour, 1-866-780-9100, The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. Before we talk further with our bug experts, our bed bug experts, I want to turn to some historical perspective on this problem. Bertie Sandeman joins us by phone. Bertie, good afternoon to you. Let me get my technology straightened away. Let's see. Bertie, are you there? Bertie's not there. We'll have to come back to Bertie a little bit later in the hour. Let's see if I can get Bertie now. Bertie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, sorry about that, but let's have you tell us a little bit about your experience with bed bugs, because recently you wrote an article in the Des Moines Register about how previous generations dealt with the problems of bed bugs. And tell us, how far back are we going to hear a little bit about your experience with bed bugs?
About 75 years ago.
75 years ago. And where were you living then?
On a farm near Creston, Iowa. Mm-hmm. We moved a lot in those days, and there seemed like there was all kinds of bugs, grasshoppers, lice, chinch bugs, potato bugs, all kinds of bugs.
Not all of those in your bed, I hope, right?
No.
Okay. So how common were bed bugs back in the 1930s?
Well, they must have been pretty common. They've seemed to survive for 75 years, so I guess they're pretty hardy.
Mm-hmm. And it was not uncommon for you to have bed bugs then?
Apparently not. They were pretty profitable in those days, and we just used kerosene. That's all we had.
Kerosene on your mattress, on your bedding?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so how
on the creases of the beds.
So you would
of
take
the mattresses. That's mm-hmm. where they were.
So you would
and
take
that's where they laid their eggs.
So you would take a cloth or something and saturate your bedding a little bit with the kerosene, and then that kerosene would sort of dissipate, right?
Yeah, just dab it on those creases, and apparently that got rid of them because we all survived anyway.
Right. Had to put up with the smell of kerosene, which is better than itching, right?
Well, which was the worst, the smell of the kerosene or the itch?
Now, in your little article in the Des Moines Register, you talk about a little accident with kerosene and your cat, Fluffy, right?
Yeah.
What happened there?
My dad decided to clip the cat, and all we had was kerosene lamps. And so he made us all hang on to the cat, and about halfway through the procedure, the cat lurched, knocked over the lamp and the chimney, and broke the chimney, and that plunged us into darkness. So that was early bedtime.
No one was hurt, I hope.
No, we didn't catch anything on fire.
So Bertie, what do you with your years of experience stretching way back to the 1930s and bed bugs during the Depression era? What do you think of us getting so worked up about bed bugs now?
I don't know. I was listening to the TV this morning, and they were advertising a dog sniffing bed bug.
You know, we will want to ask our experts about that, too, because I ran across that as well.
It's a little strange, but perhaps it works.
We'll find out what kind of truth there is behind dogs,
yeah.
canines that can. Bertie, thank you for your story of bed bugs as we look back several decades. And here's your scratch for that itchy story.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Here we go. Bertie Sandeman joining us by phone. Let's now talk to Ken Holscher. The entomologist on our program today, and have us answer that first question, Ken, that we put out. We have bed bugs in Iowa, right?
Sure we do, and have had for a long time.
So they've never gone. They've always been with us.
At least since I've been here almost 30 years, and during that time period, we have always identified some bed bug specimens that have been sent in. Now, granted, from your previous guests, bed bugs as a whole, nationwide, probably even worldwide, and obviously here in Iowa, prior to World War II were fairly abundant, and then they kind of tapered off, and I think what we're seeing here over the last few years is a resurgence, but I'm not so sure that I would claim it's an epidemic, like a lot of folks are assuming. We've seen an increase, but I don't want to put it into the area where, you know, they're just simply running wild out there.
Mm-hmm. Now, how bad is it in our state?
Well, nobody's out there checking numbers. There's an awful lot of interest in bedbugs by Iowa residents, just like there is with folks across the country, if my phone is any indication of that. Anymore, it seems as that when the phone in my office rings, there's probably about an 80 to 95% chance that the person on the other end of the phone has some question about bedbugs. But simply having questions about bedbugs and asking, you know, advice about it doesn't necessarily translate into increased bedbug problems. And so what I try to use as my gauge is that in the 28 years that I have been at Iowa State, we have had an awful lot of specimens sent into our department that we identify, insects, ticks, mites, spiders, and the like, tens of thousands over that time period. And while we always would get a few bedbug specimens, it seems as if over the last couple years we have seen a noticeable increase in the number of confirmed bedbug specimens that have been sent in by folks here in Iowa.
So people send them in because perhaps they're not quite sure that they have the right bug?
True. They want to make sure. And to be honest with you, I think that's probably the most important step. If you take a look at what has to be then put into place once you have confirmed the fact that you have a bedbug infestation, you're talking most cases about an awful lot of time and an awful lot of expense to go into a management and control program. So what I try to do when I'm working with Iowa residents is I want to make sure that they do have a definite problem before they jump into the time and expense to try to solve something that they may not have. And so if nothing else, I urge them, if they find something that they think might be a bed bug, to sure send it in to us. Let us take a look at it to make sure that's what they're dealing with.
Okay, how can they find the address? What's the address to send it into to get to ISU Extension?
You have a couple options here at Iowa State University. We have a plant insect diagnostic clinic located in another building, not in where my office is located, over in Bessie Hall, that they can send that into. They can send it into my office, which is just simply 102 Insectary Building here at Iowa State University in Ames.
Okay, Ken Holscher with us, our entomologist, our expertise on bed bugs, the world of science with us. This is something gleaned from the Daily Beast a couple days ago. The National Pest Management Association conducted an international study earlier this year that revealed 95% of the 521 U.S. pest management companies surveyed encountered a bed bug infestation in the last year. In contrast, before, that was 95% in the last year. Before 2000, just 25% of the companies surveyed had encountered bed bugs. So we're talking about what's behind this resurgence. We'd like to hear from you, our listeners, with your itchy bed bug stories. Perhaps there are exterminators out there at work and would like to share your encounters with bed bugs and infestations. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Also, during the course of the hour, we wanted to count down from the Daily Beast, America's most infested cities, a list. Perhaps you're going for the holidays to one of these cities. You want to be extra careful. We start out with number 10, Baltimore, Maryland. And one exterminator there says it has increased every year for the past 4 or 5 years. It's been an epidemic here. Baltimore, Maryland, the 10th most infested city by bed bugs. And we'll go count down the list, get to all of them by the end of the hour. Let's turn to Steve Madernach of the Iowa Department of Public Health's Food and Consumer Safety Bureau, the chief of that. What is the role of the Iowa Department of Public Health's Food and Consumer Safety Bureau in controlling bed bugs?
Sure. Actually, it's the Department of Inspections and Appeals Food and Consumer Safety Bureau is responsible for the licensing of hotels. We have nearly 1,000 hotels, motels, and inns across the state of Iowa that are licensed, and our role is to ensure that they maintain good sanitation practices, and we do that through an inspection process and also via inspecting when we get complaints from the public.
Okay, so what do you do if you get a complaint about, let's say, a motel somewhere?
Sure. Particularly, for example, a bed bug complaint, the most helpful information the public can give us is the room number. That's key because bed bugs are isolated and don't travel much. You know, I think 10 to 12 feet is the common amount of traveling for a bed bug. So we need to know the exact room this occurred in, because without that information, it's unlikely we'll ever be able to find them. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we're going to do is go in and literally inspect the mattresses, bed seams, furniture near the bed, all those sorts of things. We're looking for signs of essentially brown or red spots on the bed, particularly around mattress seams would be a common thing. The other thing we'll often use is an LED flashlight. They kind of make the eggs pop just a little more, a bit more, and glow a little bit. And it's particularly along those mattress seams that you're able to see them. In the last year, we have actually seen bed bugs, which up until that point, we got many complaints, but we really had not ever actually seen them. In the last year, we are finding getting complaints and actually finding the bed bugs there.
Mm-hmm. So that would be a sign of the resurgence, wouldn't it?
It would. We can also tell you the number of complaints that we're getting related to hotels, which are largely bed bug complaints, have gone up 40% in the last year. Mm-hmm. So that leads us to believe that there probably, you know, is some resurgence of bed bugs in the state of Iowa. The other thing that then happens if we do indeed find bed bugs is we work with the hotel operator to ensure that they take appropriate steps. The first thing that we're going to we would typically require is them to work with a pest management company. We, of course, wouldn't let them rent that room, probably also restrict the rooms adjacent to that room also, and then work with the pest management company to come up with a good control strategy.
Now, when you when your department goes to a motel or I suppose an apartment encounters a landlord, do they generally know about this? Do you get the feeling that you know, there's a lot of stigma attached to bed bugs? Nobody wants a motel with bed bugs. Is this a surprise for most of the people?
Well, and we should make it clear, on a state level, only the hotels are regulated. An apartment is a very different situation. But typically, yes. This is not the first time they've had a complaint, typically by time we're called. So they are aware, and they may have begun working on it. Sometimes they might not be taking it as seriously as they should. So sometimes when we're there, that moves it up a step and makes them go to the next level.
Okay, 1-866-780-9100, the exchange at iowapublicradio.org, our email. Tim Wickham, Community Health Consultant at the Iowa Department of Public Health in the Division of Environmental Health. So this is tracing, you're picking up this resurgence as well in your work, Tim?
Yes, we are. In my area of work, me and my coworkers, we take a number of calls from the public, and we often get more of the complaints from renters and homeowners. And we try to give them some advice and assistance as far as helping. There isn't a lot we can do. Mostly it's just referring them to consult a pest management operator, pest exterminator, and then in the case of renters, to advice on how to deal with their landlord, and if necessary, getting legal advice through Iowa Legal Aid or other law assistance of regards to landlord-tenant law, which does lay out some of the standards and responsibilities on both the tenant and the landlord in terms of pest management and pest control.
Now, we know mosquitoes, other insect parasites, mosquitoes and ticks can carry diseases. Tim, is there a public health concern when you have bed bugs?
Not specifically, no. Bed bugs are not known to be able to spread any human diseases, even though they do feed on blood like mosquitoes or ticks. But in general, the health effects are individual and depend on the person. You know, just like any bug bite, you can have that itchy rash, as you've talked about, and the swelling. And a lot of times that's very localized, but some people react very differently and have very extreme reactions. And anytime someone's calling with health concerns like that, we refer them to talk to their physician about that.
Okay, 1-866-780-9100, your itchy stories or questions about the bed bugs that seem to be experiencing a resurgence in our state and across the country. Mark is with us in Sioux Falls. Hi, Mark.
Hello, yeah, it's Cedar Falls.
You're in actually. Cedar Falls, great.
Cedar Falls, yep. I was just going to say that a lot of the, for every, I'm a pest control operator, and for every bed control or bed bug job that we get a call for, we probably have at least one call of somebody that has parasitosis, which is basically just they think they have something like bed bugs and they don't know what it is.
What is parasitosis?
Like delusionary parasitosis. It's just
they're imagining this.
They're basically imagining, right, that they're being eaten, bitten by something. And they just assume it's bed bugs, and so we have a lot of those cases for everyone that we actually do find bed bugs.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been a resurgence. Our particular company has seen a grow in the last 2-3 years. It's really become big business. We're really getting underway on how to manage it because it's such time consuming work.
Mark, what is the worst infestation you found in the Cedar Falls Waterloo area?
What is the worst?
What have you encountered there? Yeah.
Well, I personally haven't done a whole lot. Other guys have worked on them. I've helped with some. But we've been to some hotels that had, you know, a slew of rooms, you know, that have all, you know, had, you know, dozens of bed bugs in them. And there's one hotel in particular that was, you know, really bad. It's just a lot of work. You gotta hunt them down. There's a lot of different ways you can deal with it, but it's very expensive. Whether you have us, you know, tear a room apart, mm-hmm. or whether you have another company come in and heat treat. There's just a lot of different measures that can be taken.
So what's the range? If I've got a bed bug problem, what's the range of? You don't know much about it. You haven't come to my house or apartment yet. What's a range, low to high, as far as what it'll cost me to take care of this problem?
A range. Well, we generally don't quote, you know, over the phone because it's hard to say until you get there with the circumstances you'll come across. But,
yeah.
But you know, like a ballpark would be, a home could be, you know, $1,100, $1,200, $1,300, just easy, you know. A hotel room usually could be $500 to $800, just one hotel room. And you've got to, you know, and you've got to be preventative and check all the surrounding rooms, too. So there's additional costs there. You don't want to treat one and then forget the surrounding areas and then have the problem, you know, show up again. So,
Good, Mark. Thank you for your expertise. We're sure glad you and other pest control operators are around. Mark from Cedar Falls, thanks.
Yep, you're welcome.
Let's go to John in Cedar Rapids. John, you have an experience with bed bugs to share?
I do have an experience, and I share this with the listeners to hopefully prevent it from happening to another family. We vacationed in Philadelphia October of last year. Soon after we got home, my wife started having problems that looked like hives. Our doctor diagnosed them as hives. She sent us to a skin doctor that diagnosed them as hives. And we put up with that until August of this year. All this while, she's the only one that's having the problem, not me. It wasn't until we vacationed in Africa for 30 days and we got home the last of July, and we realized that, gee, she hadn't had any problem with the hives all the while we're gone. And once we got home, and the first night in the bed, she had a problem, and ended up going to another bed. And within a couple of days, we realized that we had bed bugs and had had them since Philadelphia because of the time frame.
Philadelphia, as a matter of fact, on our top 10 of America's most infested cities by bed bugs, Philadelphia comes in at number 8. Just ahead of Dayton, Ohio. So Baltimore, Maryland, Dayton, Ohio, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, New York City at number 7. That's a story. So could you then see the bed bugs once you realize this might be a possibility? Didn't you examine your mattress?
Actually, by the time she got bit the next day, it was in the middle of the day, and it was only because we had taken the mattress off and put a mattress encasement on it. Trying to eliminate an allergy problem. And she got bit up during the day only because they had not had a blood meal in 30 days. We identified them on the Internet. We took them to the county extension office. They identified them. We talked to an exterminator, and he said, check your dresser drawers, closets. Within the 24 hours, we had everything out of both bedrooms, in plastic bags, out in the garage. We had the carpets shampooed, and the exterminator was out 2 weeks later when he got freed up. And then 30 days later, we shampooed the carpets a second time, and the exterminator was out. It cost me, because we had the bedrooms completely cleaned out, it cost us $150 for the first spray. The second time he came out, he charged us $100. And then everything that we had taken out of the dresser drawers and the closets, we laundered, dried them outside, and then ran them through the dryer before we put them back into the room. So it was just recently that we finally got moved back into our bedroom.
John in Cedar Rapids, what an ordeal. Thank you for sharing that with us. We reward your itchy story of bed bugs with this scratch. Thanks, John. In the hope that this may prevent others from delaying that, Ken Holscher, our entomologist here with us, we want to talk about prevention and treatment as we get into the next half hour. We only have about a minute left here, but tell us quickly about bed bug controls. What is the key?
Are you talking about control or prevention?
Well, let's say you've got bed bugs, as you identified them, as John did.
Options are somewhat limited, to be quite honest with you.
We've got to take a break. We're going to come back to that. Sorry, I looked at the clock wrong. We're going to come back and talk about bed bug infestations on the rise across the country and in Iowa. And we have with us Ken Holscher, entomologist Steve Mandernach of the Iowa Department of Public Health. Also, Tim Wickham of the Iowa Department of Public Health with us. Here's a little bit of the bed bug blues as we continue. 1-866-780-9100 with your stories of bed bug blues. This is The Exchange.
I can't get rid of his darn old bed bug, it seems. I can't get rid of his darn old bed bug, it seems. Soon as I go to bed bug.
Great to have you with us over the noon hour on The Exchange here on Iowa Public Radio's news stream. I'm Ben Kiefer. What do you think of the tentative deal to extend all of the Bush tax cuts for 2 years? Tomorrow at this time, we'll get analysis on why this particular compromise was reached, how the sluggish economy fits into the picture, and what it indicates about how President Obama will deal with the shift toward the GOP in Congress. Politics Day tomorrow. Join our discussion Wednesday. Today, we're talking about bedbug infestations on the rise across the country, and from what we can tell, definitely in the state of Iowa as well. Our guests, Ken Holscher, entomologist with ISU, Iowa State University, Stephen Mandernach of the Iowa Department of Inspections and Appeals, and Tim Wickham, a community health consultant with the Iowa Department of Public Health's Division of Environmental Health. This hour, we're reaching out to our listeners to get your itchy bedbug stories. Have you encountered them? What did you do? 1-866-780-9100. Can you give us words of advice that perhaps you didn't follow initially, as we heard in our first half hour? 1-866-780-9100. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk, The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org, our email. And this half hour, we want to make sure we talk about prevention and about treatment, how you get rid of an infestation. And I want to turn to our entomologist, first of all, to go back to the basics about bed bugs. Give me, Ken, if you could, a bug's eye view of life as a bed bug. If I were a bed bug, what are my concerns? What do I spend my time doing?
Well, like most insects, you don't have too many concerns, at least not when you compare them to maybe concerns that we have. You need food. You need protection, and you need a mate, and that's basically about it. Bedbugs are indoor creatures, so the indoor environment provides them with that protection. They really don't have to worry about cold temperatures or excessive heat, outdoor temperatures and the like. You need food, and really what they feed on is just simply blood, and they're not really too discriminatory on in terms of what they feed on. They'll feed on humans, obviously. We make a nice readily available source. They'll feed on other warm-blooded animals that might be within the confines of their environment as well. And then, obviously, you need a mate to carry on a life cycle. But I think if there was one term I would use to describe bedbugs that maybe we don't use in the entomological world, but it's one that I think is critical to understanding their behavior, and that's to think of them as being lazy creatures. They spend 99% of their time basically hiding in cracks and crevices close to where their food supply is. They're nocturnal. They're only active at night for the most part, and they're only active for brief periods of time. When they come out at night, find that host to feed on, feed relatively quickly, and then they go back to hiding again. So they're lazy in that regard, and I think that's important because all the research that I have seen indicates that if you have, say, a home that's infested with bed bugs, and you have occupants of that home that are sleeping in the same bedroom night after night, providing that source of food for the bedbugs, that chances are those bedbugs are not going to be more than maybe 10 to 12 feet from where those individuals are sleeping at night. There's no reason for them to be wandering around all over the house, into the kitchen and up in the attic and whatnot, when they have everything they need right there close to them. And I think that's critical because with control, we want to concentrate on areas where the bedbugs are at, and that gives us a focal point to start.
For me as a bed bug, though, human blood is as good as the cat or the dog's blood, right?
Sure is. It's just that we're a bigger target, so to speak, and at least at nighttime we're an immobile target, and so they'll run right out. They're not likely to crawl under the covers and feed on you. They're sure not likely to crawl underneath your pajamas or anything. Again, they're lazy. They'll run, crawl up onto the bed. They will try to find and feed on that first piece of exposed skin that they encounter, which typically means you're going to be fed more likely on your shoulders, arms, maybe around the neck and the facial area. Like I said, feed very briefly and then scramble off and hide.
Tim Wickham, community health consultant with the Iowa Department of Public Health. What does your department recommend as far as preventing an infestation? Does having bed bugs indicate anything about a lack of cleanliness or hygiene in a home?
No, it doesn't. Although one of the first steps that you want to take if you do have an identified infestation is to really clean up the clutter and sort of eliminate those little cracks and crevices and harborages where bedbugs can hang out. But it does not indicate that there is a lack of sanitation or anything like that. That type of situation does not itself cause bedbug infestations.
And yet we have the stigma with bedbugs. It's usual. I'm assuming it's usual that people with bedbugs a lot of the time they would only confide that to their closest friends, not report it around the neighborhood, because there is a stigma, right? And does that prevent reporting by landlords, motels, other people where reporting is what's needed?
Most likely, yes. You know, there's always a stigma with these types of things. And I think maybe with all the attention it's been getting lately, it's sort of those steps to sort of overcome those stigmas and start getting the reports into the people that need, you know. Because, again, back to the sanitation issue, some of the hotels that we've been hearing about in the news in other parts of the country, they are some of the nicest, most expensive hotels that there are. So it's, you know, I highly doubt that they're having sanitation issues at those hotels. But, you know, there is that stigma and there's always that concern. But that would only lead to wider and broader infestations, especially in multi-unit dwellings.
Okay, let's go to our callers. We're looking for good itchy bed bug stories, what you did when you discovered bed bugs. How did you discover you had bed bugs? Or perhaps a question about bed bugs and infestations of bed bugs. 1-866-780-9100, the exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Joining us from Des Moines, Kathy is on the line. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I had a question. In the course of my job, I'm frequently going into residences that I know are infested with bed bugs. What is the probability that I could get them from walking through? Are they going to crawl on my shoes?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're in people's homes or other places, and you're worried about hanging out there and bringing them back. What's the advice there, Ken Holscher?
Personally, I think there's very little chance that you're going to encounter them and bring them back simply because of the behavior of the bed bug. I'd be more concerned if you were spending the night in those houses where they're going to come out at night and could possibly find their way into any items that you may have brought in. But in terms of just simply going in during the daytime, spending a limited amount of time there, I've had that same question from individuals who are in the cleaning business, who went to homes cleaning. You know, what concerns do they have? And I think it's fairly minimal in that regard.
Okay. Kathy, thank you for that question. Calling from Des Moines, your question. Oh, Kathy gets a scratch. It wasn't really a story, Dennis, but we'll give her the scratch anyway. Kathy, we hope that was a good relief to you, that answer to that question. Kathy from Des Moines, 1-866-780-9100, the exchange at iowapublicradio.org, our email. And I wanted to share this. We were going down our top 10 most infested cities with bed bugs presented by the Daily Beast a few days ago. And we were down to New York at number 7 before number 6, Washington, D.C., number 5, Detroit, Michigan, number 4, Denver, Colorado, number 3, getting close to home, Chicago. And interesting in the write-up about Chicago, they're talking about dogs being possibly useful for residents and companies who suspect they have a bed bug problem. Are there such things as dog or bed bug sniffing dogs, Ken?
Yes, there are. You can train a dog to find just about anything, or at least detect anything. And bed bugs, although you and I can't detect odors like that, dogs sure can if they're trained to do so. And so they have these sniffer dogs. Now, that's not a control. I mean, the dogs aren't going to find the bed bugs and eliminate them for you. Really, what they're going to do is be brought into a home, an apartment, something like that, and tell you if there are bed bugs present within that house or that apartment. And as far as what I know and from what I've read, they're fairly efficient at doing that. Obviously not 100%, but it's a convenient way of doing it. But on the other hand, I'm sure it's going to be somewhat expensive to have somebody bring a canine into the home like that to tell if you have bed bugs or not. And then if you do have them, then you have to go to the next step, which to take the time and energy and expense to get rid of the problem.
So this is not, what if your own dog is particularly interested in some area of the house? These are only specially trained dogs, I guess, huh?
These are specially trained dogs, yep.
Okay, let's go to Tom in Cedar Rapids, 1-866-780-9100. Tom, have you had a problem with bed bugs?
No, but I have a story to indicate how much, which sort of illustrates how much trouble they are to get rid of and how annoying they can be. My father was in the Army in 1941 before World War II at Camp Roberts, which I believe is sort of on the mid-coast of California between, you know, south of San Jose someplace anyway. And they had a terrible problem with bed bugs. And he organized the whole camp to do the things that your previous callers talked about just basically tearing the camp apart, probably, what the other lady said, dousing the bed, the edges of the places on the bedding with kerosene and then washing everything. And for organizing this campaign, he was given the Bronze Star for distinguished service.
Amazing.
I think he was a little embarrassed about it, but apparently the people really appreciated how much work it was to organize the whole camp and make that happen.
Tom, great story. From Cedar Rapids, you get a scratch for that. Thanks for that itchy bed bug story, Tom. 1-866-780-9100. Let's make sure, Ken Holscher, that people understand how to treat an infestation, because we're hearing about kerosene. That's a treatment from the 1930s, thereabouts. How do we treat them today with chemicals?
Fairly limited options available, and that's why I think it's critical, like some of your previous callers were referring to, especially I think it was Mark, the first one. We've seen a lot of interest in bed bugs from a lot of folks wanting to talk about it, calling in about that, but that doesn't necessarily equate that all those folks have a bed bug problem that needs to be controlled. And so I go back and I say the critical thing is making sure if you think you have a bed bug problem that you find it, if in fact you do, before you go to the next step, which is control. Now, once you find out that you have a definite bed bug problem, your options are either to try to do that yourself or to hire that done. As an extension entomologist over the years dealing with Iowa residents and an awful lot of insect, tick, mite, spider-type concerns, what I try to do is, if possible, work with the homeowner to see if they can't do that themselves, because it's usually less expensive to do that. But in terms of bed bugs, it's one of the pest problems that I highly urge, if they can afford to do that, that they hire that done and have a professional do it. There are spray programs, the old traditional way of doing things, where the professional would come in and apply an approved pesticide product that has a relatively long residual, so that when those bed bugs come out of the hiding areas and crawl across a treated surface, they can pick up that material. That's one of the disadvantages of a homeowner doing it, that the materials that a homeowner can buy at discount stores and the like don't have the residual life like the products that the professionals have at their disposal. The other option that many folks may have heard about are these supplemental heating units that they will bring in, the professionals will, and they will heat up a room. I think they try to heat it up to maybe 125, 35, 40 degrees, something like that, and then hold that heat for a given length of time. And it is quite efficient at doing that. But you can't do that as a homeowner. You have to have those supplemental heating units. And obviously that's an expense all in of itself. But really, like I said, your options are pretty limited. That's why I have to really make sure that before you spend that money and time to do this, that you know you definitely have a problem.
So heat is one option. We had an emailer who asked about taking a mattress outside in the freezing weather. Will that do anything to these fellas?
If there's any bed bugs that are associated with that mattress, sure. But I think there's too much emphasis placed on the mattress. The bed bugs might hide under the buttons or the ribbing of a mattress, but chances are if you have a bed bug problem in a bedroom, that's not the only place where they're going to be hiding. So you take the mattress out of the equation, you bring it outside and put it freezing temperatures, it's going to kill anything that's there. But once you move that mattress back in, you're still going to have some other bed bugs that are hiding possibly underneath in the box springs and the bed framing and cracks and crevices around where the bed is. So I don't want to place too much emphasis on the mattress. I'm going to take a look and place emphasis on the entire, area within that room.
What about resistance to chemicals? Is that part of the reason, perhaps, that we're seeing a resurgence across the country in bed bugs? Is the old chemicals are already being adapted to?
I don't think so in that regard either. I think what's happened for this resurgence, there's probably a combination of factors and probably some that I haven't even thought of that have all come together to form this perfect storm here lately. In no particular order, we're more of a mobile society. I know more people now that are traveling internationally than ever before, and bedbugs are a worldwide problem, and in some countries are even more of a problem than they are here. And we're not just traveling to the France and England's, the world. People are traveling to these far out-of-the-way places because they're easy to get to now. We have more travel within the country. I think what has happened is that over the last few years, we have more folks who are finding themselves in rental property rather than buying their own home. And anytime you move into any type of rental property where you've had previous occupants, there's always a chance that they may have left something behind for you. And what has happened since World War II, right after World War II, we had a product called DDT and other products like that that did a marvelous job because they were highly residual at keeping bedbugs under control. Well, we don't like those products anymore, and we don't allow those type of products to be labeled. We now have products that don't have near the residual life of that. Plus, we tend to try to target individual pests, such as in the hotel industry, rather than doing general sprays for a realm of insects such as cockroaches and bedbugs and like, we now try to target, say, cockroaches with specific cockroach baits that, if bedbugs are associated with that room or found there, aren't going to be affected at all. So I think there's a myriad of things that have led to this perfect storm. And if you take a look at what has led us here, you can easily see that those things aren't going to change. And so it's not as if we can abruptly change what we're doing in society and have the bedbug situation get back like it was before. I think it's here to stay. We're just going to have to learn how to control it, manage it, and prevent it through education.
Entomologist Ken Holscher of Iowa State University. Our hour quickly getting away from us. I want to get back quickly to Stephen Mondernach of the Department of Inspections and Appeals. Now, any idea how much this resurgence of bedbugs and infestations is costing Iowans?
Well, that's a really hard that's a really hard thing to give a good estimate to. But, you know, there are significant costs associated any time you get bedbugs in your home. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, of course, a hotel owner that has a bedbug infestation has a pretty extensive bill to pay for to eliminate them, particularly if it becomes an extensive multi-room infestation. So it's very hard to say, to put a number to that, but it can be very, very expensive.
Okay, let's go to Scott in Des Moines. Scott, good afternoon. A few minutes left in our program. You got a bedbug story for us?
Yes, I was recently traveling in the state of an airport hotel in Detroit and discovered a bedbug or two, you know, on the mattress there. And when I went to the manager of the hotel, he said that all the hotels at the around the airport there at Detroit were infected with these. So I really didn't have any options, so I ended up having to spend the night in the room. And so I took my carry-on and I put it in the bathroom up on the marble counter with all tile floors over in the bathroom, and I hung my clothes over the shower rail there and basically tried to avoid any contact with upholstery and everything in the room, and then had to sleep there in that room. So I had left the lights on, as many lights on as possible, hoping to avoid taking back any hitchhikers with me. And I was just curious about that particular strategy where you don't have options and you do find them in a hotel room. Will that work? And especially keeping the lights on, will that prevent them from moving around and getting into your luggage?
Scott, before we get the answer to your question, a great, there you go. There's your scratch for your itchy, horrible bed bug story. What if you find yourself, as Scott did, in a place that you think has bed bugs, you see them? Did he conduct himself appropriately? Was that the most effective thing to do?
If you're asking me, yes.
Yeah, Ken.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And one thing, I know we only have a few minutes. One thing I would like to caution, a lot of people are traveling, especially over holidays, and they ask, what can I do to prevent bringing them back if I'm staying either in a hotel or even with relatives? And my answer is no guarantee. And so what you have to do is assume wherever you stay has them, even though chances are they don't. But, for example, if you're staying in a hotel, never leave your suitcase on the floor, especially next to your bed, when you're not actually needing things out of your suitcase or backpacks or purses or anything else like that, or sacks or boxes. Always keep those things zippered shut or sealed up. Try to keep suitcases, backpacks, purses, and things as far away from the bed area as you can. You know, use that little fold-out TV tray-looking deal. I'm not sure what they call that, you know, to put your suitcase on. If they don't have one, put it on top of the dresser. I know a lot of folks will actually put their suitcase and all their bags and things in the bathtub, which is about as far away from the bed as you can get. I'm not too concerned about clothes hanging on a rod. I'd be more concerned if you took the clothes out of your suitcase and put them in the drawers of the dresser that's in the room. Chances are, if there's bed bugs there, they might crawl between the folds of the clothes, and now when you go to pack your suitcase, you just grab your clothes and throw them in the suitcase again. I know some people will actually travel with heavy-duty black garbage trash bags, and they will place everything inside those trash bags and seal them up when they're not in the room. As far as sleeping with the lights on, that might do some to discourage them. It depends upon, I guess, how hungry they are.
They're night feeders, right?
They're night feeders. What I don't recommend, that I know simply some people have tried, is when they go to bed, they will actually douse themselves with mosquito repellent in hopes that, you know, it's going to be repellent for the bed bugs, which it's not. Plus, it's not a good idea to sleep, you know, with your body coated and that stuff at all. But just do some common sense type things, and I think you can do a pretty good job of eliminating or minimizing a potential to drag them home with you.
Okay. Scott, thank you for your call from Des Moines. Before we end up this hour, I wanted to share the complete list of America's 10 most infested cities by bedbugs, courtesy of the Daily Beast from a few days ago. We got up to number 3, Chicago. Number 2, Columbus, Ohio. Thanks, they say, to the international companies and international university in Columbus. Number 1, the most infested city by bedbugs, according to the Daily Beast, Cincinnati, Ohio. So on this list of the top 10, 3 cities in Ohio, Dayton, Columbus, and Cincinnati. The other towns, once again, Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Washington, D.C., New York City, Philadelphia, and Baltimore coming in at number 10. If you're traveling, be careful, especially in those cities. With the valuable advice we've gleaned today from Ken Holscher of Iowa State University, entomologist there. Stephen Mondernach, thank you very much. Tim Wicken of the Iowa Department of Public Health, thank you all for joining us this hour. It's been enlightening, creepy, but enlightening. Thank you for doing it.
Thank you.
All right. The Exchange is produced by Catherine Perkins and Alex Hoyer. Production assistance today from Christina Sarnelli. In Des Moines, we had help from John Pemble. Executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Jeff Schmidt. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, leaving you with a little more bedbug-inspired music.